Now we are told here that definite thing, there shall be no curse anymore. And the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be therein. And his servant shall do him service, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. All there shall be night no more, and they need no light of lamp, neither light of sun, for the Lord God shall give them light. They shall reign forever and ever. Now the first creation was blighted by the curse of sin, and this old earth on which you and I live today bears many scar marks of the curse of sin. The new creation will never be marred by sin. Sin will never be permitted to enter even potentially. You see, it was potentially in the Garden of Eden in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, the very presence of God and the Lamb will be adequate to prevent it. And it was during the absence of God in the Garden of Eden that the tempter came to our first parents. But we are told here that the throne of God and the Lamb are in the New Jerusalem. It's the GHQ, it's headquarters for God the Father and God the Son. And the notable absence of any reference to the Holy Spirit does need some explanation. You see, in the first creation, the Holy Spirit came after the fall to renovate and renew the blighted earth. The Spirit of God brooded over the face of the waters. And he is the instrument today of regeneration in the heart and life of sinners. Now, there'll be no need of his work in the new creation in this connection. And therefore, the silence of God at this point is eloquent. And his servants shall do him service. Now, it reveals that heaven's not a place of unoccupied idleness, but a place of ceaseless activity. It'll not be necessary to rest in order to give the body an opportunity to recuperate. And the word for service here is a very peculiar word. Dr. Vinson calls our attention to it, that it came to be used by the Jews in a very special sense to denote the service rendered to Jehovah by the Israelites as his peculiar people. And you find that over in Hebrews, the 9th chapter, verse 1. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service in a worldly sanctuary. Then down in verse 6 of that same chapter, now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. You see, this is going to be a peculiar service to God that you and I will perform in eternity. What it is, I don't know. I think that he may give us charge of universes. I think there'll be ceaseless activity. There's no night, and man will at last fulfill his destiny and satisfy the desires of his heart. And man will at last see his face. This was the supreme desire voiced by Moses in the Old Testament and Philip in the New Testament. It's the highest objective for living. What divine satisfaction is going to be there. And each person will bear the name of Christ. Each will be like him, yet without disturbing his own peculiar personality. I've always said this facetiously. It could be true, but I've said that one of the things I want God to do, if he'll do it, is to let me teach the Bible. I want to attend the classes Paul teaches. Then I'd like to teach a group of people that were members of my churches that I served on earth but wouldn't come to the midweek Bible study. I've asked for them for 1 million years, and they won't think it's heaven for that first 1 million years, I'll tell you that, because I'm really going to work them. They're going to have to catch up. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. But I do say that we are all going to be busy there. Now, our attention is called in this section to the direct lighting of the new creation. There'll be no light holders such as the sun or reflectors such as the moon. God lights the universe by his presence, for God is light. Now, it's in eternity that the church will reign with Christ. Who knows but what he'll give to each saint a world or a solar system or a galactic system to operate. Remember that Adam was given dominion over the old creation on this earth.